everybody doing tonight? Doing well? Doing well. It's good to have you back. David, what are we doing here? All right. It's a good deal. That way nobody can complain about it the rest of the night. Oh, aren't you glad for friends? Amen. You got to love them in spite of who they are. Amen. So, been a joy to be with you so far. It's good to be able to see so many friends. Everybody asks me, for those that are here in this church, here at South Fork, people say, how long have you been in Alabama? I've only been in Alabama just a short time. I've been in Alabama since about November of this past year. I was in Boone, our deep gap, for 2 years at Laurel Springs Baptist Church. So it's good to be able to look out over the audience, especially yesterday and tonight, and see so many friends that me and Christy were able to be honored and privileged to be able to minister to. So I appreciate them coming out, as well as this church for coming out again tonight. I know it's a little different. Somebody said, well, who does this in June, in the summer months? Well, anytime God's Word's being preached, anytime we set aside to get here, I think it's always a great time to come together as a church and seek the Lord. So I appreciate your faithfulness and attendance tonight. Looking forward to a good week together. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 51. I'm going to do a little exposition just of this passage tonight. We're going to go through a few verses asking ourselves one question. Can we be forgiven? And the answer is yes. In fact, I would say it's a big fat yes, that we can be forgiven and God can work in our life. So when you get there, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word together? Psalm chapter 51. We'll stand and we'll honor God's Word together. We're going to go down to about verse number 17. So that's a lot of verses. Amen. And it's a lot of preaching too, but we're going to do it. Because I think there's so much truth that you see in this psalm alone that gives us just a great aspect of repentance. Gives us a great aspect of forgiveness. It gives us a great aspect of brokenness. And if you ask me, what do we need in most of our revivals? I would say, if anything, what we desperately need is a good dose of brokenness. When is the last time that we shed some tears over our sin? Maybe shed some tears over our church. Shed some tears over our life. Too many times we have just got an altar for no reason. Nobody wants to come down to it. And I know there's some people physically unable to come, but I think God would meet us in our brokenness, and I think you can see that in this passage tonight, and that's what I want to challenge us on. So let's read. I'll stop preaching, and we'll start reading, okay? And then we'll preach a little more. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from all iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned, and I have done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Behold, you delight in the truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit, are a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for already meeting with us this week. I pray that you would meet with us tonight. Lord, I pray that we would just take a good look. So many times in our church, God, we are consumed with, well, if somebody else just gets right. If this person just gets right, we may experience a revival. If this person gets right, we may just see a hand of God. Lord, let us not worry about everybody else tonight. It's not my brother or sister that we need, oh Lord. It's me standing in the need of prayer. God, let us look at ourselves tonight, even me as a preacher. God, I pray that I would look inside and see what you're speaking. And God, I pray that maybe we would be overflowed with brokenness, maybe for our sin, maybe for our attitude, whatever it is we bring in here tonight that is not of you. God, I pray that we would be broken for it. God, I pray that this would not be about me, that this would be about you. God, I pray that I would decrease so that you could increase. May your power and presence be felt in this place tonight. God, I pray that your word would be preached. Lord, I pray Jesus would be exalted. I pray lives would be changed. And God, may you be glorified in all that we say and do here tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Just going to talk about this passage tonight of, can we be forgiven? I think you see this as a parallel psalm to Psalm 32. This comes in response of David's confrontation with Nathan in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We don't have to go through that whole story. Maybe we do. I don't know. But if we went to Vacation Bible School or we grew up in church, and I'm not going to take for granted that all of you did that, but if you grew up in church, we know the story of David. David was the king. He was the one after God's own heart. He went on his rooftop one day, lingered a little too long, knew somebody was going to be up there. There she was, Bathsheba. He could have looked and walked away and everything would have been fine, but yet he looked and he fell into lust, and then he acted upon that sin and he was with Bathsheba. Then he tried to get Uriah, her husband, to come home, tricked him into trying to be with his wife so that it could seem like she was pregnant from him, but he wouldn't do it. So then he got Uriah killed in battle. You say, well, I don't think he really did that. Oh, he did. He completely set it up in such a way that those troops would draw back and he would die. So we saw a lot of sin take place. And what we would think is that a king who was after God's own heart would be serious about his sin and serious about confession and repentance and brokenness. But most people think, and most commentaries think, that David went a year in between his sin with Bathsheba and his confrontation with Nathan. Now you remember Nathan, he comes in there in 2 Samuel 12, he gives that story that we all remember. He says there was a man with a herd of sheep and a herd of lambs, and then there was a man with just one ewe lamb, and then that other man with many, many lambs had a visitor. And instead of taking one of his own, he took that other one and gave it to the visitor, and that enraged David. Remember, David said, surely that man should die today. And old Nathan, like any preacher would, that has any gall about him and has any stick-to-itiveness about him and is worth anything he's worth, looked straight at him and said, what? That's you, man. Just as a practical point, I'll preach before I preach. I say that all the time. My people make fun of me. That's okay, because I do. And that is, always listen when God's man talks to you and God's people, and he delivers God's word to you. Because Nathan could have been scared. He could have not done what God called him to do. And David takes it in such a gracious and good way. That's why I would say always listen when God's man talks. Somebody said, well, you're hard on everybody. Well, I don't try to be hard on everybody. I just say what God's word says and get it out there. Amen. We're the ones that should be gracious enough to receive it into our hearts and welcome it in. And he was broken for his sin. I think Psalm 32 is a good parallel passage of this psalm that you could talk about. But we're going to do Psalm 51 tonight and ask ourselves this question. Is there anything blocking us from revival? Is there anything in our lives, not who's sitting beside me, not who we brought with us, not our spouse, not our kids, that need to get a sense of revival and honesty with themselves tonight, but maybe it's just us tonight that we can look in our own hearts and ask ourselves, is there anything blocking us from receiving the blessings of God when it comes to revival? And if that's the case, we need to deal with it tonight. I think that one thing that blocks us from having the fellowship that we have with Christ and we need to have is sin. I think it's true when they say that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll make you give. It'll take more than you ever wanted to give, and it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. I think sin destroys your fellowship with God. Now let's clarify. I'm going to preach a little bit tonight before we preach. It's a long introduction to get to an even longer sermon. Amen? And here's how it is. By no means am I saying tonight that sin destroys our salvation with God, in the sense of our standing with God. I think there's two things that you see when it comes to sin. First of all, there's a sonship when it comes to God, and that is when we get saved, you say, Pastor, do you believe once saved, always saved? I believe let's rephrase that phrase just a little bit for me, okay? Because I do believe once saved, always saved. But let's just go with this. Once truly saved. Once biblically saved. Instead of just walking an aisle, praying a prayer, but once biblically saved, where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they repent of their sins, Christ comes to reside in their life. Once you are truly saved, I think you are always saved. You are always, always a son of God. No matter the sin that comes into play in your life, no matter if you falter or you fail, I think you are a child of God. And I think God deals with you. And the reason I think you can see that in your life when you do sin is He does exactly what I do to my kids every once in a while. And that is, He whoops you every once in a while. I think He disciplines you. I think if you're a child of God, you can't enjoy sin for a long time. Why? Because that Scripture tells us we'll only enjoy it for a brief moment, and then He'll come upon us with discipline on our hands. But I always think that those that are saved and truly saved are in Christ, and Christ is in you. You say, well, what are you talking about tonight? I would say it's fellowship. I think sin gets in the way of our fellowship with God. It gets in the way of our communication with Him. It gets in the way of our walk with Him. It gets in the way of our intimacy with Him. And it just breaks things apart. I think it just blocks some things. I'm not a big fan of standing out in the rain. And my wife is just, for some reason, terrified of rain. I don't know why. She acts like if it's through the rain, we may all die. So she's got about 18 umbrellas in our car. Some are little, some are small, and it just hurts my feelings because none of them are gender specific. All of them are girly. Therefore, every time I go somewhere, she's like, just grab that purple and pink one up there and run on into Target. Well, good gracious, I don't want to do that. But she just doesn't, I'd rather just run through the rain, get soaking wet. But I think that there's a thing that we could take from that illustration right there, and I think there's sometimes, as Hosea says, he's going to receive the blessings of the showers of God. That is, that God wants to pour down His grace and mercy upon us, and sometimes there's something blocking it from us, and I think sometimes our umbrella is some form of sin, whether it's pride, whether it's a sexual sin, whether it's immorality, whether it's some kind of attitude sin, or whether it's just a sin of your heart, of ungratitude toward God. Sin gets in the way of our fellowship. And sometimes I'll just go and say it. Sin destroys churches. Because your sin affects everybody in here. I mean, Achan's sin affected the whole camp. And God didn't deal very lightly with old Achan, did He? If He dealt with us like He dealt with Achan, we'd be in a world of trouble. He killed him. He took him out. Because He said, your sin has affected the whole camp. And I just want to look at that tonight. Just look for a moment at four truths that you see in this passage of a man who is broken before God and truly responsive to the call that Nathan put in his life. I like to study revivals. I like to study missionaries. We were talking about that today. One of my favorites is Evan Roberts from the Welsh Revival. He prayed a prayer one time, and it was very simple, and it was, God, break me. And God broke that man and used him greatly to send a revival to that area. My prayer tonight is for us. God, would you break us? If there is anything that is getting in the way of our walk with you, if there is anything that is standing in our fellowship with you, God, would you expose us for who we are tonight? And maybe, just maybe, would you break us of our sin? Would you break us of that bad attitude? Would you break us? And truth is, you alone know what you're struggling with tonight. I don't. David doesn't give me a list of all the heathens that he's got in this church and what's going on with you. He's got that list, but he hasn't shared it with me. Four truths that David responds to in light of Nathan's coming to him and confrontation with his sin. First of all, he appeals for something. Look what he says in verse number 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. He immediately appeals to the love of God. He immediately comes in. In fact, the word right here has to do with a courtroom setting. He immediately goes before the judge and asks specifically for, I would think, two things, maybe even three things you would say tonight. And that is, he immediately goes to the love of God. And I just want to talk about that just for a second. I would say it like this. When I was growing up and I got in trouble, my parents were two opposites. I would say me and Christy are two opposites in our parenting. But I would say especially my dad and mom. My mom was exactly what I preached on yesterday morning. If she sang then, she was the nice one of the ones that we were going to receive punishment from. Amen? Therefore, you went to her because you were likely to receive what? Grace, mercy, and love. And then you went to dad, if he ever found out and you just prayed he did not, you received what? Justice, wrath, and condemnation. And all those were in the form of a belt. Amen? So you would immediately, if anything, if you just couldn't hide it because you were a pagan kid anyway and you were going to try to hide it from your parents, but if anybody was going to find out, you just wanted mama to find out. And you prayed that she would give grace and mercy on you when dad walked in the door. If she looked at him and didn't tell him, you just thought, thank you, Lord, for my mother. Because you never went immediately and said this. Hey, Dad, I did this. No, you was going to get a whooping. You said, well, you and Christy are opposites too. Yes, I'm mercy and grace, amen? She's justice and wrath, as you can tell. Y'all don't even know her. I think it's very fitting what he does right here. He appeals to the love of God. I'll go even further. That word right there is the covenant love of God, which has nothing to do with our love. What he's actually going to say is, God, deal with me based off of your love to me, not my love to you. Because here's what my love to you got you. Even after you called me to be king, even after you chose me in that field when Samuel anointed my head, after he went through all of my brothers, even though you led me and saved me from Saul many times, and I could have killed Saul a few times, and you had your hand upon me in that kingship, and oh, by the way, the fact that you got me before Goliath, and I struck him down, and your kingdom was glorified and honored through me, my love even through that, I didn't care about you because I went away for some woman. So God, please don't base it on my love, because my love was waving and my love was conditional and my love was very set to my circumstances. But God, make sure you just do everything according to your covenant love, because here's who He is. He's a God that doesn't love us based off what we do or how we perform. He doesn't love us based off our performance. He loves us because He's love. He loves us because that's who He is. That's His character. That's His nature. That's who our God and our Heavenly Father is. Because, guys, if He loved us based off of our love and our actions toward Him, we would not be lovable. But He's so good. And He's so gracious, and He's so loving, and He's so merciful that David shouts out to Him, I know even in spite of my sin, you're so good that your covenant loves just who you are. So God, don't love me based off even what I've done or how I've acted. Just love me based off who you are. God, you're so good. He says, love me just, and He appeals to that. I think he just falls before. No pride. No arrogance. He's not cocky. I think he's humble before God. I think he's been humbled with his confrontation from a preacher who preached the gospel to him, who hit him in where he was. And he just falls before God broken and is accepting of anything that God has coming his way. But he does say, God, I appeal to your love. And oh, by the way, I appeal to your mercy. Because His grace is getting something you don't deserve. Mercy's not getting something you do deserve. And here's the truth in this all. You ready for it? We deserve the wrath. And we deserve the justice. And we deserve the condemnation. And God's merciful upon us. No reason David has about every psalm where he says, for you are good, and your love or your mercy endures forever. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. Even though what... I mean, let's just go with it tonight. Whatever you've done, wherever you are, whatever you did this past weekend, whatever you did this morning or last night, or whatever you think is unforgivable and you think that God can't handle, I got news for you. God is love, and He loves you here tonight, and God has mercy, and He won't hold it against you if you come correctly broken and repentant of your sin tonight. And you say, well, I just want love with no repentance. That's not true, and that's not biblical. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. But he immediately just appeals for the love and mercy of God. And oh, by the way, he appeals for a third thing, and that is the cleansing of God. David uses a threefold emphasis over and over. I don't want to bore you with it, but it just fascinates me when I look through Scripture. I try to look through the nuances of the words and what we're doing here. he notices, well, let's just read it. Let's just read it instead of me talk about it. Y'all ready? He uses a threefold emphasis with the cleansing of God. I think for an emphatic reason that he is dirty and he is messed up, and what he desperately needs is only something that God can give. And I think that's what he's going to say right here. He says what? In verse number 1, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He uses three words for sin. He uses transgressions, sin, and he uses iniquity. Transgressions is the one that has broke the law. Iniquity is one who is immoral and went against God's commands. And sin is amarte, which means we have missed the mark. And that just doesn't mean we accidentally missed the mark. That means we physically and purposefully missed and did what God told us not to do. But then he gives three words for the cleansing of God. So here's what he brings to the table. Transgressions, sin, and iniquity. But then God, I may shout a little bit. Y'all okay? God brings three things to the table as well. First of all, he says blot. Secondly, wash me. And then cleanse me. Blot's a great word. It actually means to wipe the slate clean. If you go even further, Peter uses it in his sermon at Pentecost. Peter uses it again in his sermon at Solomon's Portico right there in Acts chapter 4. Remember what he says? He says, Jesus Christ will blot out all your transgressions, which actually is a word for, and I am going to go a little deep because I am so much of a nerd. I find good stuff even in nerdy stuff, okay? And that is, here's what that meant. That meant when they wrote their pens and those paper that they had at that day and time, it wouldn't immediately soak into the paper. It would hover above it, and you'd have to let it dry to get in. And he says, oh, by the way, your sin's hovering above it, and here's how good God is. I'll just come and wipe it off, and there'll never be a trace of it ever. Wow. Good gracious. Because I'm so good, and I can wipe anything away that you've ever done. I mean, right there, blot means I'll just come and take it away like it never even happened. Wash me is a physical term to do a laundry, talking about only God can cleanse it. Cleanse is a word that talks about a priest that only could do what he did in the temple. What he's trying to say is you bring a mess to the table and God brings a soap and he brings a bathtub and he throws you in there and cleanses you up the only way that you can be cleansed. Because we try to fix things, oh, goodness gracious, let's just go with it. We try to fix everything our own way, and we think we've got the solution to our sin, and we think we can get ourselves out of the mess we created, but we always create more a mess than we started out with because we can't do anything. We just need to surrender and ask God to forgive us and ask Him to love us and give us mercy. And oh, by the way, while you're merciful and loving to us, why don't you just give us a bath? I remember I went to World Changers one year. I didn't like World Changers. I mean, I loved it. It was a great purpose. They just worked us like dogs and slaves every time we went as a youth group and a youth pastor to World Changers. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to lose my man card when I say this, but I just don't like to be dirty. I don't care. I know I'm in the mountains and everybody's hardcore and, you know, you've probably, just for the fun of it, broke a tree today and then cut it up into pieces and walked around with it like the brawny man. But I don't do that. We went to World Changers, they'd beat us like dogs. I don't know, they said we was doing it for Christ, but I think we was just doing it for free labor. But nonetheless, we'd go, and then we'd come back, and I'll be honest with you, I've never been more excited to be a grown man running toward the showers. I pushed over junior high girls, I pushed over junior high boys, I didn't care who was in my way, I was headed toward to get a shower, because I was tired of being nasty, and if you're big, you just stink anyway, and I was big, smelled nasty, and I just wanted a shower, even if it's just for 2 seconds. I got news for you, some of you tonight, because of your sin, you're smelly, you're stinky, you're dirty, and you desperately need the cleansing from God, and oh, by the way, here's what you bring to the table, not dirt, not mud, not gruff, you bring transgressions and sin and iniquity, even though God loves you and cares for you, you fell into it anyway. And oh, by the way, if you call out to ask Him to refresh you and cleanse you, He will. Because here's the truth tonight. I just want to preach to you wherever you are. If you are in sin tonight, you don't have to stay there. God will forgive. I know we don't like to preach on sin. It's almost a sin to preach on sin in most of our churches. But here's why I preach on sin. Because there's a Savior who can forgive you from all sin. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you from them. Why would you stay in the mess you're in? I think that most time as a pastor. I see people and I don't get it. Why they would choose what they have instead of choosing God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's repentance. Most of the time it's pride. They're so scared that they would forgive. They think God would forgive them, but they know the church wouldn't. And honest truth is, most of us won't. Because most of us, oh, let's just have fun. Y'all ready? I'm leaving Thursday. Remember, I said that, so I can say anything I want to. Here's why most people won't come before a church and ask for forgiveness. Because most people in church, when they sin, they want grace and mercy. But when others sin, they want them to have wrath and condemnation. So we like to put them down and hit them down. Isn't it just sad testimony that we can't be real in front of our own church members and we can't be real in front of our own brothers and sisters in Christ and cry and weep and be over our sin because we're so scared they're going to rub it in our face and they're going to tell everybody about it? That's a shame. And that's not the body of Christ. You don't have to stay where you are tonight. He says you can be cleansed. And he appeals to God only to do something that God can do. If you're in sin tonight, you don't need to ask confession to a priest. You don't need to ask confession to me or David unless it's affected this church publicly, and then that's another time for another day. But I would say this, you better get on your knees before a God who is holy and righteous, but also loving and merciful and can only do what you desperately need, and that is to cleanse you up. And he will. He appeals to God for some things, but he also acknowledges God for some things. Here's one of the things that mostly gets us from where we will not get real with our sin. I'm going to preach for a long time tonight, so I hope y'all are ready. Here we go. He says, "For I know my transgressions," in verse number 3, "and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." And then he gives this whole verse on sin, which we would use mostly for the doctrine of sin right here, that we all come into this world as sinners. Even cute little babies are all sinners. And that is, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my womb did my mother conceive me." That is, that I came out of this in a sinner. But let's just say this. He not only appeals for God's love and mercy and cleansing, but he acknowledges his sin. Here's what's missing in most of our churches. We won't get real with what we're going through. And we won't be serious and acknowledge anything. I am amazed sometimes by what people think is an apology. Because it's never an apology, amen? Now, I'm not going to say that me and Christy ever fight. We don't. We have large discussions. How could you even word it even nicer? Loud moments of fellowship. Would that be good with you on that one? And you ever get one of these apologies? I'm not saying I've done them. I'm saying Christy does them all the time. It goes a little something like this. "It was my fault, but..." That's what you want to say. Just stop there. "But you made me do it." Well, good gracious, where was the apology in that? Sounds like the fight we just had, amen? But yet I have that all the time. Not with Christy, I'm just joking, but I have that come in my office all the time. "Well, Pastor, here's what I'm struggling with. Pastor, you know what? I did cheat on my wife. But she don't love me. She's never intimate with me, therefore I just say, I found somebody was." Well, that wasn't an apology, and that wasn't you accepting and acknowledging your sin. That's just blaming it on somebody else. That wasn't the case for it anyway. Here's getting real before God. It's when we actually say what we need to say before Him. I just go, confession is saying what God already knows anyway. I mean, isn't it? Isn't it saying what God already knows? God knows you did it. God knows it was in your heart. God knows you're the one that did it. He ain't blaming it on anybody else. Why don't we just get real before God as churches and as individuals in here tonight and actually say what God already knows? Now, God, it was me. It was me. It was my pride. It was my sin. It was my iniquity. It was my transgression. I looked out on there. I think David knew she was going to be up there. I think David knew specifically when she went up there, and I think he went to look at her, and I think he went to look and to lean. And that is that he knew exactly what he was doing, and I think he did exactly what he was doing the rest of the way, because I really think he thought he was going to get away with it, and I think most of us do too. Here's the truth. Let's get real with who we are tonight and actually acknowledge what God already knows. If you can't look on the internet without looking at something that's perverted and ungodly, then get real before God, because he already knows you're doing it anyway. If you can't be around the person of the opposite sex that's not your wife or your husband, and you can't be faithful when you're around that other person, then get away from them. I mean, I'm not just meaning sexual sins. I'm talking about everything else, too. Here's one sin that's killing most of our churches: pride, arrogance, thinking it's all about us, envy, strife. We talked about it yesterday, but here's what we really need to get rid of. We We just need to get rid of it. I just hate it. Maybe I just do. I just hate fake. I don't like it. Somebody said the other day, you're crazy. And then I thought, well, I know that. I mean, that didn't take a lot to put that in. I mean, you hung out with me for 7 months. I thought you already knew he was crazy. But they said, I think they were trying to insult me, but I took it as a compliment. And they said, because I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to prop myself up like him. They said this, you're the same person you are in the pulpit that you are in your house. Good, that's what I want to be. I mean, I falter, I fall, I fail. I mean, I have my ups and downs. But I just want to be genuine and transparent and real. And usually people either like it, or I know this is going to shock you tonight. It's going to blow your mind. You ready? Some people, and I can't ever understand it, don't like it. Amen? Now, I know what you're thinking. I love it. Good gracious. Y'all need to be quicker on that tonight. How could you not? I mean, it's sweater vested up. I'm ready to go. Just a lovable. Okay, we're not going to go there. I don't seem like y'all are on page with me. But some people just don't like it. But here's what I'm saying before God is, why can't we? Because here's the truth. We can be fake with a lot of people and they'll fool them for a while. But we cannot be fake before God. He knows us. He sees in our hearts. He exposes us for who we are. Therefore, why don't we just acknowledge it? He just says this, behold, I was brought forth iniquity. And then he says, against you and you only have I sinned. Because here's the truth. Didn't he sin against Bathsheba? Yes. Didn't he sin against Uriah? Yes. Didn't he sin against his kingdom? Yes. Didn't he sin against his family? Yes, because it comes back to haunt his family. But didn't he sin against all those other folks? Yes. But where does sin really come to? It becomes between you and God. I sinned with a young man the other day. Year into his marriage. Already unfaithful. He had a smile on his face. Just wanted me to brush it under the rug and go on. And I said to this man, he said, I'm really sorry for what I did to her. And I said, you should be. You have a gorgeous wife, a beautiful wife. She adores you and she loves you. And you were unfaithful and you are a sorry dog. That's why nobody comes back the second counseling session. But I didn't care. We want to sugarcoat it. And I said, but here's the real truth. You should be sorry to her. But I don't see any inkling that you're sorry to God. And that's where this is really going to come down to. Because here's what you can do for a while. You can fool her for a while. And you can say what she needs to hear. And you can act good for a little while. And you can even come into church and you can tell a preacher what he wants to hear so that he'll think you're good for a little while. But if you don't ever get right before God and broken before God over your sin and acknowledge that you sinned against Him and you broke the heart and the commands of God, then you'll never get serious and acknowledge your sin and you'll never go forward in the forgiveness that you desperately need. Guys, I got news for you. You can apologize to everybody, but you better get right before God. Because you think you can fool a lot of people. I got news for you tonight. You can't fool Him. And he acknowledges his sin before God and says, I've just sinned against you, and I've sinned. In fact, he just says this. He gives a doctrine of sin right here that says he sins because he's a sinner. I know you. I'm just going to preach a little bit. Let's just get real. I mean, most of the time, you could just, we call it what on Sundays, our worship service. I think sometimes we could just call it the show. Because that's what we're trying to put on. If I can just get in and I can look right and I can act right, people actually think I'm a pretty good person. I got news for you. I don't want to think people think I'm a good person. I want God to know that I'm a holy person. Because God's the one that knows who I am. So let's just stop playing all these charades and these games and trying to act like something we're not. Let's just get real before God. And a good time to start tonight if you're in sin is tonight. You say, well, if I come to the altar later, people are going to know I'm a sinner. So that's why church is so messed up. Because here's the truth. Note to self. Let's just hit the one in room. The elephant in the room is this. We all are. Me included. We all are. We all desperately need God's forgiveness at times. All of us falter. All of us fail. All of us mess up. All of us get ourselves into a mess. Sometimes maybe not as much as he has. But all of us get there. So let's just get real. He acknowledges things. Then he asks for some things. Let's move faster than I'm going. So, let's read it. He asks for three things specifically that only God can do. Look what he says in verse number 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. He talks about a refreshing touch of God. He comes back to the words of cleansing, of blotting out, of getting refreshed by God, and being washed through God's power and God's forgiveness. In fact, he uses two words. Now, we are cleansed through what? Well, Peter tells us what we're cleansed through. Our sin when we come to know Christ is cleansed through the blood of Christ. Amen? I mean, 1 Peter tells us that. That we have not been redeemed with imperishable things, such as silver or gold, but we have been redeemed with what? The precious blood of the Lamb of God, who is without blemish or spot. That is, that Christ atoned for our sins once and for all on the cross of Calvary by the shedding of His blood. Not the spilling of His blood, because it was no accident. It was the shedding of His blood, because He did it on purpose, and He did it for a reason and time, and that was to atone for who we were. Now, the Old Testament, we're looking toward the cross. We're not here yet. But this word He uses, purge me with hyssop, is a blood term. Where do we see it at? We see it in Exodus chapter 12. Remember, the Passover is going to come. He tells them that they're to do what? Take that hyssop branch, take that lamb's blood, put it on that hyssop branch, and put it on that door, and all those that had it on the door would what not? They would not receive the angel of death because He'd pass over them. He uses a ceremonial blood term right here to talk about the forgiveness of sin. Because Christ's sin does atone for us once and for all, but it's continuously atoning for us as well. And that is, it's washing us whiter than snow. Now, I don't know a lot of detergents that use blood in it. I've looked. Tide doesn't. I'll go even further. I don't think OxyClean does. And OxyClean will clean anything. No? Y'all never use that stuff? But I've never turned around on the box and seen blood as an ingredient. But here's what you do. You sin, you falter, you mess up. And here's what God wipes you with. Not just the hyssop branch, but His self-atoning work of Jesus Christ and His almighty blood. And it washes you whiter than snow. You say, do you miss the snow? That's a tricky question, amen? I've heard it ever since I got up here. Do you miss the snow? Ask me on another day, amen? I don't know. But here's what I did love. I loved looking out at it. I didn't like driving in it. Didn't like being a captive in my house for 18 days for it. But I did like looking out at it because there's nothing prettier than unwalked in, just perfect snow all about the community. Amen? And you just think, man, that's purity. That's holiness. It's just a picture. It's a picture of the Lord. And He says this, you're dirty, you're muddy, you're messy. And I'll wash you up. It's Hosea 6 words. You've been broken, and I will heal you. Because He's going to do only something that He can do. He says, refreshing. He says, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that He's broken rejoice. Seems to indicate that sin's got in Him. We could do Psalm 32 all night, talking about the physical ailments that come with sin, but we're not going to do that. And I think God puts it on you when you're in sin. Now, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to preach that. But some of you are in the mess and the health that you're in because you're in sin and you won't confess it. And God's pressing down on you like a sponge is what it says in Psalm chapter 32. He is crushing you and He is pressing you to get right before God. But that's for another sermon at another time. And that's between you and God. Secondly, ask for renewal. It says, hide your face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He asked for God's renewal. Now, I like this word create right here. We're going to talk about it just for a second, then we're going to move on because some of you want to move on, but some of you don't, so we're going to jump into it real quick. Create right here is a word that only God can do. Where do we see it in? Genesis chapter 1. This is a work of God that only God can do, and He's the only one. He is the only one. Mark it down tonight. My Catholic brothers and sisters that may be here just hanging out a little bit tonight, He is the only one that can forgive us from our sins. We don't need a priest. We don't need a go-between. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He can create in us a clean heart tonight. Because whatever you bring to the table tonight, He can handle. Whatever you're facing tonight. You say, well, you said I was a dirty dog if I cheated on my wife. I think you are, but you can come before God and ask for repentance and grace and mercy. And He's so good and loving that He will love you and forgive you. And oh, by the way, I, as your brother in Christ, will too. Because God can handle your mess. Let me go again with it. Not His mess. He didn't do it. You did. But He's so good. And He's so gracious. And He's so powerful, and He's so amazing that He brings into the equation creating, refreshing, renewing, creating and blotting out, washing, only what He can do. And He can do it in your life tonight. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay in the mess that you've created. Don't stay in that quicksand that's coming above you. Reach that hand out. I got news for you. You'll find another hand there. And it's the hand of God that'll pull you up out of the miry mess and the muck that you're in. And He says, you can create in me a clean heart because God refresh me, renew me, and restore me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. That is, God, bring me back to the day. Man, do you remember when you got saved? Sometimes I wonder. So many of us have gotten over the fact that we got saved. I still haven't got over it yet. Maybe I'm just weird. Man, I was a church member. I'll go even further. I was a pastor's son. Church all my life. Every time the doors were open, I was there. Every time we had a function, I was there. And most of the time, I'm going to give you a little hint. I didn't want to be there. I was there all the time. I went to every youth trip. I went to every kids camp. I went to everything they ever offered. And at 21 years of age, I was still lost as a bat. Didn't have any hope. Didn't have any direction. And had heard the gospel. And it kills me every time I have to tell my testimony. Because I had heard the gospel over and over and over. And I'd have died and gone to a hell from a pew. A pastor's son. But God saved me. I'll never forget when He did. February 11th, 2001, I was lost as a goose. I came down to the altar, and here's what I talked myself into. He preached a sermon. It was my daddy preached it. He just preached it on me that day. I thought he was preaching at me. He probably was. He said he wasn't, but I knew he was. Amen? And he's just going at it. And I convinced myself, because I was so prideful and arrogant, because this is what most of us do when we hear gospel preaching anyway. And I said, man, I'm saved. I've been saved. I said something when I was in VBS. I was saved. Yeah, I've been baptized. I'm good. I'm sure I'll go down there and get things right. Son, I went down there and got saved. Because God showed me how lost I was. And I'm not perfect. Good gracious, I'm not perfect. That's Christy. I mess up and I falter and fail. But I cannot get over the fact that a loving and gracious God would save a sinner like me. I just am not over it yet. And He says, take me back to the time. I mean, good gracious, do you remember when you got saved? I feel like sometimes when we get saved, we're like that blind man when Jesus goes and heals him and Jesus says, don't go tell anybody. And that joker winked out everybody. Because why? You couldn't help but go home. Tell your mama. Tell your daddy. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers. God's changed my life. David was sitting there talking to me last night about his testimony. Good gracious, you're blessed to have the pastor that you have. He went back in that machinist shop, won all those boys to Jesus. Took a while, but he won them to the Lord. Why? Because he went in there and said, God saved me. And he ain't even over it yet because he keeps waking me up every day I'm here and telling me about it. Tell him to stop, amen. And David says, just bring me back to that day when I remembered your grace, when I remembered your mercy. And he fell on God for everything that God can give. And I'm telling you tonight, here's the truth. Fall on the face of God. And he would just fall on our feet tonight. And here's what we're going to find. We're going to find that God is loving. And that God is merciful. And we're going to find out when we look at our hands and when we look at our body, we are dirty and we are messy. But He can cleanse us and He can create in us and He can refresh us and He can restore us and He can heal us and He can welcome us back in like the prodigal's father did to the prodigal and He can forgive us. And David finds that. Because he was broken before God. I want to encourage you. I didn't come to beat you up tonight. I came to encourage you. If sin has creeped into your life, whether small or large, it's still sin and it is affecting your fellowship with God. Do not respond with prideful arrogance tonight. Do not respond with, I'm going to try harder. Do not respond, if I just tell everybody, I'm going to lose everything I've got. I got news for you. Let's just get real before God tonight and acknowledge our sin and appeal to God for who He is and ask Him to cleanse us, and I guarantee you, He will. And then He's not even done that. He says two other words, and I'm done. He anticipates doing something. Look what he says. Verse number 13, I'm almost done. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. And he says, my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Because here's the truth. God's so good. And He's so sovereign that He can use your mess and forgive you from it. And then you can help others accordingly. He says, I'll teach everybody else and show them how God forgave me. Some of you have been through a lot. Truth be told, some of you in here today have cheated on your spouse. But you are faithful and you ask for forgiveness and repentance and you're back together with them. And I would say this, use that to help somebody else that's maybe going through it. You say, well, that's tough and that's going to expose me. Again, we go back to that whole thing about church and how unbiblical we are about it. We're so scared somebody's going to think wrong of us. Some of you have been through divorce that you could help others through when they're going through something like that. Some of you have been through something that is horribly bad, but God can use it to help somebody else. And that's how the body of Christ works. He says, I anticipate witnessing and teaching others. But not only that, there's something that's been missing with fellowship. And he says it over and over in Scripture. And he goes to it immediately once he gets cleansed. And that is worship. Who can ascend to the hill of the Lord? Those with a clean hand and pure heart. Here's what we do every week. Sometimes when we're in sin, we try to come in here and praise God. And we know it. We got dirty hands. And we got a dirty heart. That's why most of us don't even come to church when we're doing something ungodly. Because we don't want to be exposed with what we're exposed with. And we know everybody else probably thinks about it, but we know God actually knows about it, so we don't want to come in here. And he says, here's what I've been missing. Because Psalm 32 says that my melody's been off and God puts me back where I need to be. And he just says, I'm going to worship you for who you are. I know it's a hard one. I know it's a long one. But you don't have to stay where you are. And I want to challenge you and encourage you tonight that God will forgive you. You say, well, if God forgives me, I'll have no consequences. That's not biblical and that's not true. David had a huge consequence from his sin. He lost that baby. And the sword was on his family for the rest of the time in the Psalms, was it not? Son went against his daughter. A son killed a son. A son came against him. He had consequences left and right on this earthly. But I wouldn't worry about the consequences come earthly. I'd worry about my standing in fellowship before God. And here is the truth. No one else may forgive you for what you did here tonight. Husband, if you have cheated on your wife, I don't know if she'll forgive you. Wife, if you cheated on your husband, I don't know if she'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. But I can guarantee you this. If you come with a broken and contrite heart, which means you're serious about your sin and you know you've sinned only against God, and you come broken before Him, appealing to His love and His mercy, and ask that He would cleanse, and ask that He would refresh, and ask that He would create only what He can do, I can guarantee you this. Nobody else may forgive you, but God will. Because God is good. No reason, David said over and over, you are good. Let's pray together tonight. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our musicians come and play. This is one of those sermons where no one wants to come down to the altar. Because here's what we're thinking. What are they going to think I've done if I go down there? As I got news for you, don't worry about what they're going to think about you tonight. In fact, let's just ask between you and God tonight. David just stood before the Lord. He asked for God's love and God's mercy. Do that tonight. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, the first thing is just fall at His feet tonight. And ask God, God, You are a God of love. Not my love, Yours. God, You are a God of mercy. You don't have to give me what I deserve because You're so good. And God, You are a God who forgives. You can cleanse me. You can wash me. Maybe you'd also get real before God. Get transparent and authentic tonight before Him, and you'd say, God, it's me. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not my pastor. It's not my church. It's not my co-workers. It's me. And I have sinned against you. Maybe with an attitude, maybe with an act of sexual immorality, maybe with something that's just got in the way to where we're not walking with the Lord, but you would say before God, it is me. And you would ask for only things that God can do. Ask Him to create in you a clean heart. Ask Him to restore into you the joy of such salvation. Ask Him to forgive you and cleanse you, and I guarantee you, He will. And then leave out of these doors tonight giving praise and honor and adoration to who God is, because He is a good God. He is a gracious God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. And His mercies are new every morning. He is God Almighty. The one who can clean up your mess. The one who can forgive your sin. The one who can restore your life tonight. Here's the invitation. Maybe just right now you'd get up and come. No one looking around. No one standing up. And maybe you'd just slip out from where you are, tap somebody on the shoulder, and just come and say, God, maybe it's not an open public sin. Maybe it's not even something that's just devastating and destroying, but you're in on it. You just want to ask God to forgive you. Maybe we would just be broken tonight. Maybe it's not even sin, but we would just be broken before God for this church, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would ask God to humble us and break us in our life and ask Him to meet us in here tonight. Or maybe tonight you've never given your life to the Lord. Maybe tonight will be the night where you do find true forgiveness in Jesus. Whatever it is, here's, I'm going to pray and then we're going to come. Pastor's up here at the front. Some have already come to the altar. Maybe you need to come. Don't let pride stand in the way. Don't let God speak to you and then you leave tonight knowing that He spoke and you did not respond. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would eliminate pride from this room right now. God, I don't care if it's deacons that need to get right. I don't care if it's me that needs to get right. I don't care if it's Sunday school teachers that need to get right. I don't care if it's women ministries that need to get right. I don't care if it's youth pastors. I don't care if it's pastors. God, whoever we are in here tonight, if we need to get right before You, take our prideful arrogance out of the way and let us come humbly and broken and contrite before You, and may we find that You forgive and that You restore. And God, would You send revival to this church, and maybe our brokenness, our mourning, our tears would send into revival only what You can do in this place. God, would You work? As our heads stay bowed and our eyes stay closed, would You come? We're only going to go for a moment. If you need to get right, and you know it tonight, would You come? Maybe you just need to get on a bended knee before God.
Not going to tarry long. What's the Lord saying to your heart? It's good for us to acknowledge that we just need Him. We just need Him. It's pretty obvious in our communities, in our country. We need Christ. As the Spirit of the Lord's working in this place, just a couple more minutes. What's God saying to you? How long are you going to falter? Are you going to choose the Lord's way, or are you going to keep on going the way that you've always went, thinking that you're okay? Your choice. But God's grace awaits to all those that ask forgiveness. And we can live for Him. Amen. Tim, thank you. Thank you. That's one that we need to put to work in our own hearts. See the sin in your own life. Get rid of it. We don't have time. We live in a world that desperately needs to see Christ. Well, come back. Good crowd for Monday night. Usually Monday night's a week night, so I tell you, you guys did good. I hope the Lord blesses your faithfulness. Come back out. Thank you so much, Tim. Come up and tell him. Hug his neck. He likes hugs. Give him big hugs. Slobbery kisses. Tell him how good he did. Now, thank you, brother. You touched our heart. But I'm going to pray and dismiss. Listen, ask the Lord what it is in your life that's keeping you from revival and deal with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Thank you, God, that you are a God of grace and love and mercy. Lord, that covenant love that we can trust on your love. That's it. We can trust on your love, not our own. And God, it's unchanging. It's always there. Apply it to our lives. Look into our hearts. Whatever it is that might be keeping us from revival, let us lay it down at your feet, and may we truly be renewed in your spirit. God, the time is short. We see the world imploding, and we desperately need to be that which Christ has called us to be. Help us not to look like the world, but to be in the world and to transform the world through the preaching and teaching of the gospel through our lives and through our testimonies. And God, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come here on a Monday night and worship you and hear your word and touch our hearts. So bless everyone here. Watch over them, protect them. Bring us back tomorrow night looking forward to worshiping. Lord, let us look at our hearts and see maybe the thing that's keeping us from being that which you have called us to be. Let us to lay it down at your feet, not to ever pick it up again, that Christ might be glorified through our lives. And all God's people said, Amen.